Welcome to the Lights, Camera, Rant Podcast. Your source for the latest on movies, TV shows, and video games. Get ready for ranting, raving, and reviewing. Here is your host, Lee.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to an episode of Lights, Camera, Rant. And for this special episode, we're going to be looking at Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver. And I have a very special guest. I have Azus from the Thanks for the Invite podcast. I did it again. I thought on the last episode too. I was like, I won't stuff up the name again.
You're good.
Bloody hell. How you going, man?
What's up, brother? You're good, man. Thanks for the invite, bro. I appreciate you having me on.
No, of course. Like, as we were talking before this episode started, it's Rebel Moon. I had to get you back for this. Like I said, I can't believe it's already been about 5 minutes since we got the last one. And it's just kind of like sneaked up.
Yeah, it really did. I'm not going to lie.
I was like, oh, shit, that's really soon. So I'm like messaging you really quickly going, hey, I hope you're free this weekend.
And I was going out of town. So like we were debating about leaving like yesterday on Friday, but we didn't leave. We're not leaving until Monday. So I was like, perfect. I was like, Saturday or Sunday is perfect. So perfectly. We got this right on time.
Awesome. And like, as we were talking about before, I'm like, your movie, because yes, everyone who's listening, watching, we have a director on Lights, Camera, Rant podcast, which is sick.
Thank you.
8.9 IMDb on your movie, 6. That's fantastic. And I saw 2.2K views on YouTube as well.
Yes. Yeah. It has pretty good views on YouTube. It's on Tubi. It's on Amazon Prime. It's on Plex. It has pretty good ratings on IMDb. And I think it's at like, I don't know exactly, but it's on Letterboxd as well. I think it's like a 3 point something, maybe 4 point something on Letterboxd. I'm not even sure, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, even regardless of the ratings, like I was telling you, like the fact that people go and take the time to go rate the movie, whether they gave it a 1 or a 10, whatever it was, whatever it is great, because they took the time and the movie impacted them that much to be like, I hate it this much, I need to go review this, or I loved it this much, I need to go review this. Like, and so that was it's awesome. And so yeah, everybody check it out. It's called 6, spelled out like Roman numeral VI, 6, and it's free on YouTube, it's free on Tubi, Plex, and it's on Prime. I think you got to pay for it, so you can watch everywhere else for free.
So don't go on Prime, go everywhere else.
Yes, go everywhere else.
Do you have a letterbox? I don't.
Yeah, I do have a letterbox.
So you just review movies, don't you? Or like,
so my son does. My son is like huge on review movies. There, all he does is review. But I like to have it for lists. So I keep movies I watch. So every year I have a list of the movies I watch that year. So that way I don't forget, and then I give it a 1 out of 5 stars. So that way I know. By the end of the year, I'll like list it, like what were my top movies that I liked to the worst. And so I'll have all 100 something I watched that year. And I can put every movie I watched and then go back and be like, oh, I gave this a 3, whatever it is.
Okay.
So I love it for that. I love it for the list reasons.
I haven't got one. And I had someone say the other day, he's like, oh, what do you mean you don't have a letterbox? You're a movie reviewer. I'm like, oh, I have an account with everything else.
I'm very surprised you don't, to be honest. Like, Letterboxd to me is like the standard for just movie geeks. And if you don't have it, you will be like, oh, this is a standard. Like, you're gonna get it and be like, why have I been missing out this long? Like, it's such an awesome app. And you, like I said, you get to see people's reviews and talk with people and comment on their stuff. Like, it's an awesome community. I like the Letterboxd app.
All right. Maybe I'm missing out. Maybe after this, I'll open one and give it a crack. But no, I just never got into it. And like, I've seen people's reviews, but I never gone, oh, I'll download and check it out. But yeah, it was just a comment the other day, and I was just like, geez, maybe you subscribe to everything, and then I'll go in Letterboxd and I'll do it.
From there, yeah. You got to get it.
Yeah, but no, Thank you for coming on to review Rebel Moon.
I'm excited.
Zack Snyder is at it again. This is part two, which we found out the other day in a recent interview. Now, I thought this was only going to be part one and part two. There's actually going to be part four or part six to this Star Wars.
Yeah.
Star Wars, which I don't think we even have a date for the director's cut, which is meant to be the proper version that's meant to be R-rated.
Yeah. That comes out. I heard it's supposed to be summer. They drop both, but there's no, like you said, there's no actual date. They're just like speculations.
And I felt, which we'll get into, I felt there was a couple scenes in this. I was like, I'm guessing that was bloody. I'm guessing that was meant to be
way more
messy scene. I was like, one of the gripes I'm going to say with this is like, I just wish that this dropped with the R-rated version. Or we got the R-rated version first and then they dropped the CG version.
Yeah. I agree. I would prefer them to... Me personally, the fact that, you know, you're on Netflix and you would think that Netflix, you know, because Netflix gives you the freedom, you would think that Netflix would just be like, yeah, just release your 2-hour and 45 cut as the infinite cut instead of like, you know, and I know it's because Snyder's very famous and I'm a Snyder like fanatic. So I know it's because he's famous for the director's cuts, but like, come on, you know, you got the freedom in Netflix to just get your cut. Like just give me that three. If it's a 3-hour cut of each movie, then let's do it. But I don't know. They're not doing it. They're releasing extended cuts, R-rated cuts. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, they released HBO Max released the 4-hour Snyder cut for Justice League,
which was if it's not one of people's favorite top superhero films, it's definitely Zack Snyder's top two, top three film he's ever made for sure.
Oh, 100%. And I think the only gripe I had with the Snyder cut was his aspect ratio. Everything I loved about the film, loved it. It was the only thing with the aspect ratio was like, come on, man. TVs are bigger now.
I agree. I'm a Zack fanatic, I still pick at Zack Snyder whenever he does things I don't like. And one of the things I didn't like was that the aspect ratio. And so I waited for the 4K edition to come out on Blu-ray because I was like, maybe it'll have a version that doesn't have the aspect version, but it didn't. It was straight up the same format. And I was like, I get it. I'm used to it now and it's fine. But like, why would you? I love Zack, but like, why would you do that to a Justice League movie? Like a Justice League movie. Give us the IMAX widescreen, like the full look of what you want us to show. Not the aspect.
Not like I'm watching my 90s TV show. It's a 90s box.
Yeah, it is. Unless you have like a really big screen TV, like it does bug you at first.
And the funny thing is, when we watched it, I remember me and my mates were like, oh, what have you done to your TV? Like, fix it. Like, for the first 10 minutes, we're like, just fix it. And then I Googled it. I was like, oh, no, that's how it is. Unless you want to look stretched and everyone looks short and fat.
You're like, oh, man. But again, every director's different. So, you know. And I loved it. It didn't matter at the end. I forgot about the aspect ratio and I loved the movie. And I have no issue with that aspect ratio. I just want people to know it's for that movie. That was the issue.
That's right. For a smaller film, fine. But for an epic conclusion, technically, on a grand scale, an Avengers movie, that should be IMAX. I should not see an inch of black screen.
Yes, seriously.
But no, we got that. And Snyder Cut is fantastic. If you haven't watched it, yes, it's a slog. And I think there is also, if you Google it, there's actually point somewhere it tells you where you can stop perfectly so you can turn it into a good 2-hour film
yeah.
with all the with all the break. Mm-hmm. But were you, after Rebel Moon, the Child of Fire, how excited were you going into this?
Okay. I want to say not super excited. I want to say I was just like, okay, like I'm ready to see part two. Just because, again, part one, I enjoyed it. I did enjoy part one, but I didn't love it. You know, I didn't leave out loving it, but I did enjoy it. I had fun watching it, but I was still like, man, I felt so many things were missing pieces. Like, it just felt so rushed. And so, again, like, that's why I've been like, well, I can't wait to watch the director's cut before part two, but we didn't get it. And so now I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. So that's why, again, one of the things, I wasn't super excited, I will say, and that sucks and hurts to say as a Zack Snyder fan, that this was one of the ones that I was like, well, you know, okay, well, when it drops, I'll watch it and I'll see how it is.
Mm. Well, I start the trailer for the first one. I think a quarter section of the trailer was everything in this movie. It wasn't in
really.
Like there was flashback scenes.
Okay.
From all the cast that was in that first trailer that wasn't. I remember us talking, going, "Well, where was him? Where was Titus looking really young? Where was this?"
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. I forgot you did those. Some of those scenes. You're right. I forgot that was in the trailer.
Yeah, I was like, "Well, did something missing? Like, why?"
Yeah. He more than likely, since he was shooting everything back to back, he started to kind of like, okay, let's leave this out. Okay, let's not put that in now. Let's add this instead. It was probably switching up as it was going.
Which is no surprise. Mm-hmm. No surprise into this. And yes, this film currently goes for 2 hours, so it's another 2 hour slog, which is not mad. 2 hours is currently a standard right now with everything. Right now it does have an IMDb rating of 3.8 at the moment.
Really? I have a 5.2 on my end.
Oh, I did write this 2 days ago.
It probably went up because I've
all right, went up
5.2 now.
Oh, that's even better. All right. Yeah.
You scared me. I was like, no. Like, that's low. I was like, oh my gosh.
No, I wrote this 2 days ago. So that's actually, okay, that's gone up. So that's better.
Yeah.
And you know, it's this one, because we have a team, the back, they go there. This pretty much picks up straight after the first one. So there's no time gap. Yeah. There's no nothing. We go straight into it. The team's back on the farm with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm still surprised that was it Channing Tatum? The guy from the first one.
Oh, Charlie Hunnam?
Yeah. Still can't believe he died so quickly.
Yes, I have it somewhere over there, but I bought his Funko Pop because I really liked this character so much, but I was so mad that they killed him off on the first one. I was like, man, he could have been a really good character for the second one.
Yeah, especially in this one. I thought, oh no, he could have done so much in this, but just died really quickly.
Yeah.
One thing, like, going is, I noticed everything on the farm planet, everything on the ships looks great, but did you find the CGI in space of the Dreadnought CGI off?
I felt like they used miniatures on that, on some of the scenes, like on the plane, on the ships in space. I don't know about the CGI. The CGI to me, it wasn't from the first one, either way, wasn't the best. But he was able to find a way to blend it in well. And I feel like he did a good job on this one, where, like, obviously you can see some of it wasn't really the best, but I felt like it blended well with what he was trying to do. But I did notice, like I said, like the ships look like miniatures. Like, it gave me more of a realistic old school Star Wars look to the ships when they were in space. But maybe that was me and that was funky CGI.
It could have been. I just found it just went, everything physical looked really good, but it just seemed when they were in space, I was like, why does this look a little bit off?
Yeah, I don't feel like he's captured the world of space in that universe yet for me.
No.
It looks very, like you said, like it just kind of there, I guess. Like the inside the ships look great, like you said. The world inside at the worlds, they look great. But when you're in space, yeah, it just, I don't know, maybe it feels like a loading screen for a little bit, you know, like they don't really feel like you're in space at times.
Yes. When they're in space, it's a loading screen. Like you need to click go. Mm-hmm. And then it takes you straight in and everything looks so much better.
Yeah. They have no purpose over there. Yeah.
Nah, 100%. Did you, cause obviously we get, you know, with, they all start getting ready to have this massive fight on the farm. Did you like that with Noble that he came back and he was the villain again?
Yeah, because I didn't feel like I feel like his character, like a villain, was strong enough. And I'm a huge fan of when they continue, when they repurpose a villain and they don't just kill him off immediately. Like where, like, it feels like he's part of that world, because like, I don't like when they build a character.
Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. Marvel is the biggest one, especially with Ultron. Like you build someone like Ultron and you're like, whoa. And then you kill him off and you go like, man, he could have been like great in this universe, you know? And so I felt like with this character, Charlie Hunnam, they build that characters on the first one, mm-hmm. but they talked about him, but there wasn't enough building for me to really feel the character. And with like the villain, I feel like this one gave me that push of like, all right, he's a real villain in this movie. Like he feels part of this world now, like because he's been so part of it for so long now. And like the first one felt like, I said, it felt kind of rushed. So we're not really with the characters as much. That this one made up for not just his character, but I think a lot of the characters in part one.
No, I agree. I just thought, like, I thought with the second one, I knew he was going to come back, but I thought that we might be in like a second Balsaris. I thought maybe Balsaris would have been more involved in the film, because you failed. I'm coming in. We're going to do this together.
Yeah, so kind of like somebody else now about to take over. So you kind of know like, oh, he might die, but now we're about to get this other villain for the next movie. But he's come. We're really getting presented to him, but we didn't get any of that.
No, we only got Bolsar is meant to be the bad guy, the villain of the entire thing, and he's only in a flashback.
Yeah, that's it. You're right. You know what? Now that you say that, like, I am mad we haven't seen enough of him, because like, I get like there's this like we don't see too much of him, but like I don't see enough of him to fear or see or feel the fear that people in this world feel of him, like, and that's what sucks.
Well, the first one he only spoke to Noble, I think, for about 10 minutes. Again, I think he was only in briefly, but he was a lot less in this.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were just being bad and you're just in a flashback. And that was I was a bit like, okay, I kind of wish you eat more in it, or at least towards the end. Not saying it's a generic thing, but like if he got a message saying the Draugnite had gone down and he's like, did the dark side thing and said, all right, assemble everybody.
Yeah.
We're going.
Yeah. Feeling like a bigger threat is coming or something, but we didn't get any of that.
No, but every time I do see Noble, Ed, I think of as Francis because of Deadpool. It doesn't matter what he's doing. It doesn't matter what he's wearing. I'm just like...
He's Francis.
Francis! That's all I see him as. But he did a great job as being... He did fantastic in this. Coming back and being the villain for this. And Sophia Cora, she's got action heroine all over her.
She is
the big, bad, most badass, most brutal, and everything. in between. She did a great job. And they still, you know, they go to part 4 and 6. She is the one to anchor all this. She does great.
She was awesome. I think she kicked ass. I think the one that surprised me that I didn't care too much about in the at the first movie was the girl that was with that tribe, with Ray Fisher's tribe.
Yeah.
I forgot her name. I wasn't fond of her. Like, I didn't really care for her character. But on this movie, I was like, she kicked right there. She kicked ass. I liked her a lot. I really loved how, like, he or she, right? I want to be sure. She, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I must admit, when I was watching it, when she was talking, I'm like, I completely forgot about you from the first one.
Same.
Don't remember you much at all.
Charlotte Maggie, her name is Sam. That's who she played.
Yeah.
No, that's the other actress. That's the one who played the little villager. I don't remember.
She's not.
Elise Duffy, maybe that's her. Yeah, that's right. It's a female. Her name is Elise Duffy. And that's no shade. I just, the short hair in the movie. I could tell it's a female, but I was like, maybe. But
yeah.
I think she kicked ass. She did great. I loved her character. That one was the one who won it for me after Korra. Korra, honestly. Every character on here kicked ass. I'm not gonna lie. Like, Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy. Oh, what I love about Jimmy is just like, I'm not doing anything. Like, you're gonna fail. You're going to lose. I'm gonna watch you set up and not help. And at the last second, oh yeah, I have the ability to take out a tank and kill 20 men, and I've just been watching you struggle.
Mm-hmm.
This whole time
he came in like nothing. He came in like it was a mixture of like Batman and Ferrara from Man of Steel. It was a mixture of like that feel. I was like, oh my gosh, dude, like he kicked ass, dude. But no, I liked them all. I'm gonna be honest, there was every character on here I didn't love on the first movie. I said, okay, cool. The ones that I was falling in love with, Ray Fisher and Charlie Hunnam, die. Mm-hmm. So I was like,
gone.
Yeah, I was like, well, I don't really care no more, right? But then going into this movie, the characters in the movie find, like, whatever Zach did really made me love the characters. And I really feel for them for part one now. It adds to it. It sucks. I get it. People are like, oh, it takes two movies. I get it. But it worked.
Yeah.
The characters, I love the characters.
It makes you appreciate everybody from the first one now.
I'll get 100%.
Like, go back. But everyone had their standout moment. And I do like Titus. I do like he became more of the general in this episode, and he got the team. This was one of my gripes. This was one of my gripes for the movie. I thought, now I know you're not meant to read in it too much, but I'm like, you have harvested nearly, I'm saying, 6 months of grain, prepared an army, dug out trenches in 5 days. I was a bit like, I don't think that adds up.
Right, it's a lot. You kind of go like, all right, well, I guess in the mythological world of Snyder, I guess, but like, yeah, no, I'm with you. It was days, because I do remember, like, there were like 3 to 5. Oh yeah, she said 5 days, and she said specifically that girl came back. She goes, "They'll be here in 5 days," and everything they did. I didn't even really put that to bring, because I'm not gonna lie, I came in not, man. I love Zack Snyder. Two of his movies, 3 of his movies are in my top 10 movies of all time, you know? So
let me guess. 300, the Snyder Cut, and that would be Watchmen. Because I think Sucker Punch. Yeah, Sucker Punch. I watched that. I was not, that did nothing for me.
Same. You're right on Watchmen. So Watchmen, you're right. It's Watchmen, Man of Steel, and Batman versus Superman. Those impacted me the most. Like, those were the ones that, like, really impacted, like, the shit out of me. Like, holy shit. I watched Watchmen at the theaters and I was like, how the fuck do you, how are you a filmmaker like this? Like, how do you, how are you allowed to make a movie like this? Who the, they gave you money and you got to make Watchmen? Like, it was like a passion project. What the fuck? It was so great. I loved it. But yeah.
Watchmen, Watchmen was one of those movies that, you know, it wasn't, it just kind of, I don't think anyone had any big hype for it. Unless you were a diehard comic book fan, you had no hype into it. But he nailed it. He absolutely nailed it. And I'm pretty sure it's still got a better rating than the TV show that came in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I will say, you're right on that. I think the, for me, what makes movies is music. I think for me, the trailer and having Smashing Pumpkins, and then I love gritty movies. So when you have a, when you, gritty movies, dark movies, like having this like darkness and chaos, and then you added Smashing Pumpkins to the trailer, and then you add this like slow-mo. I was, bro, it's one of like the best trailers ever. I mean, I saw that trailer and I was like, the movie's a 10 out of 10. I've never seen the movie, but the movie's a 10. When I watched the trailer, there's a 10 out of 10. That's how great the trailer was to me. I was like, he nailed it. And then I watched the movie. I will admit, I went with two of my friends and one of them fell asleep. The other one was like, it was okay. He was like, it was all right. You know, whatever. I was like, it's, what the f-? Like, I was like, this is the best movie ever. Like, oh, and then,
what
like,
are we watching?
Yeah, I was like, bro, did Jesse Rorschach? Like, what? Like, yeah, it was just, they were just like, ah, I think you enjoyed it more than we did. I was like, yeah, I can tell. I was like, but damn, it was such a good movie.
That's mean a lot of movies I'll enjoy it more than my friends. They'll be like, yeah, what'd you think? Yeah, it was all right. I'm like, hey, that was effing good.
Right? They don't get it.
Nah. But no, I remember watching Watchmen. I didn't see it at movies. I had a friend recommend to me watch it. He's like, oh, have you watched it? I was like, oh, no. I was like, because I didn't know anything about Watchmen. I was like, oh, I'll just chuck it on and watch it. And I was like, shit, that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good. But, you know, speaking of music, I thought the soundtrack for this one was a lot better too. I bet the music hit so much harder in this, when the you know, you had the fight scenes, you had the slow scenes, and you had a farming montage. Yay.
The farming stuff wasn't my favorite, like, things to look at. I will admit, like, just the farming atmosphere in general, I was always like, ugh, like, it got a little like to me where I was like, I'm tired of seeing I want to see more of the space. I want to see more of the sci-fi stuff, like the spaceships, you know? But I have to admit, this one caught me way more than the first one. Like the first one, I had more parts where I was like, get me off of this fucking farm island planet.
Yeah.
Like, get me out of here. I want out. And on this one, I was like, oh, here we go again. But then I was like, okay, it works. You know what? I actually don't mind watching it right now.
Well, I was gonna say, imagine in New Hope if we saw Luke farm before he went off.
Oh no!
No, but you are right. Like it did create the atmosphere. But I was like, okay, you probably could have shown this. I don't think we really need this long. I don't really need to see Titus perfectly cut wheat and how it's made and how it's grinded. It's, I don't really need that.
And I get it. It's like, I get when you want to take your time with characters, but I'm like, I don't feel like that added. No. You know, like, when I was like, all right, whatever. It is what it is. I was like, I'm not going to question it. Whatever.
No. What did you think? Now, we got the most pivotal flashback scene, which is the anchor for basically this entire thing. Mm-hmm. What did you think about this flashback scene, the violins, and she's mystical? The daughter, like...
Yeah, that was the only part I was kind of like, huh. The scene in general was great, though. It was a great scene. Yeah, that was the scene, I think, that turned it around, turned, like, everything around. Like watching Rebel Moon, I was kind of like, I'm watching, like, it felt like a little bit like I was watching it for homework. And then that scene, then I was like, oh, man. Snyder can hit. Because at first you're just like, Snyder's cinematography is amazing on here. But you're like, the story, I don't know if it's going to hit, but it hit. And then that scene, you're just like, oh, man. Like, I thought it was great. I didn't think she was going to do it, I'll be honest. I didn't
know. I thought Bolstar was going to get up and, like, oh, grab a gun and be like, I'll do it. Or, you know, something like that. I didn't think she was going to actually shoot her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, time to root for the child killer. That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah. But and so that makes you kind of feel differently because you're like, oh, wow, she actually, like,
yeah,
she followed orders, like, and she did a bad thing. Like, and now I have to make sure she can defend me, you know? Like, oh, man.
Yeah, and because we knew in the first one she brought the broken bird back, and I was like, okay, she's got healing powers, but yeah, as soon as he shot her, like she, oh, like this light came out. I thought maybe
she
was gonna disappear or something, but no, her body still fell.
Yeah, same. And I thought like some energy or something.
Yeah, and I do love the twist. That's another thing is I did like the twist how he instantly goes murderer. And
that confused me at first. I was kind of like, huh? And then I was like, oh, he set her up. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, fuck. And then the more he said it, I was like, everyone's going to jump in. And then everyone started jumping in. I was like, oh, she's fucked. I was like, of course. Now, like, he's basically letting her know, like, everybody here is with me that you're the one who killed all of them. And that's it. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. And I was crazy because that's her her adopted father, right?
Yeah, adopted father, yeah.
He did that. That's what's crazy. It's like, I didn't see that coming, that him portraying her, because that's his adopted daughter. And the fact that she went through with it, confused me more that he did that, because I was like, bro, she actually went through with it.
She actually pulled the trigger.
Yeah, and yet you're still throwing her under the butt. Like, wouldn't that be like the most perfect apprentice you would want?
Yeah, a Sith thing, yeah. Yeah. That's perfect. A perfect Sith moment.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, for anyone who's watching new for the Rebel Moon, is to remember the fact that Rebel Moon was a story pitched originally to Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. Twisted killed her. But see, the thing is, after he killed her, they didn't chase after her.
No, yeah, she did go off on everybody. She's a badass. Like, he knew he wasn't going to touch. Like, she's a... See, that... Guys, take note at how do you... How female characters should be shown on screen. A badass is right here. Take note. She didn't tell me she was badass. She just showed me how badass she was. She got her ass kicked still and got up. And you were like, she's still fucking badass. Like, that was like... She's fucking badass. Like, that wasn't a part in there that I wasn't like, she's going to handle this. Like, every part, I was like, my girl's got this. Like, she's good. She's good.
And the flashback scene towards the end as well, that was so good. But yeah, I love the flashback scene. I'm glad we got that. Still very sad.
Yeah.
And still very sad when that happened. And I have another thing I've been... I don't really care for Gunner. Her boyfriend.
Oh, homeboy.
Cora's boyfriend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Homeboy. I was like, oh, you haven't really done much. You've really just been there.
The first one, he was just there.
Yeah.
On this one, he added more for sure. And like I said, like, I like the characters more on this movie. And he was one for sure that I was like, oh, okay, awesome. But I'm with you. Like, at the end, I didn't feel it for him, and I was just kind of like, damn, that sucks. But I was like, he didn't, I would have been more hurt if like, what's his name, Titus,
yes.
He would have, if Titus, or like, what's his name, Tarak, Tarek, whatever, oh, bro, I would have been, devastated because I got to actually meet with the, you know, really feel with those characters. And there's nothing wrong with Gunner whatsoever, but definitely was just somebody that wasn't but I liked him. I liked him more on this movie than I did on the first one, I'll be honest. Like he actually he felt more important than the first movie.
First one, he just seemed to be like, you're just hanging around. Like,
I'll hold your purse.
Yeah, I'll hold your purse while you go fight for me because I don't know how to use a gun.
He didn't do shit. But this one, man, I got to admit, he did a lot. He did a lot on this one. He carried his weight.
Mm. Speaking of going over with the rest of the team, like, I really liked the back when they were sitting at the table. I love the background of each character. I like that we got that on why they were there and their situation and more history onto them before the battle. You know, getting that scene that we saw in the trailer with Titus on what happened with these men. That was sad.
Oh yeah. That one was crazy. And he just got to witness everybody. I was like, oh man, that was his punishment. I will admit I was not excited. For that scene, I knew it was coming. I was like, oh, they're about to tell their backstories. And I was kind of like,
we're about to share.
And I was like, I don't think it's going to be good. Like, I don't think it'll be as good as, you know, just going to say it. But I was drawn in the whole time. Visually, the way they told the story, I was like, okay, you know what? Mm-hmm. But I got to admit, I came in this movie, like, with the lowest expectations. Mm. I said this movie's gonna suck ass because the first one, like I said, it didn't live up to my hope expectations. So as much as I enjoyed it, I didn't love it. And then I watched it again and I was like, it's okay, it's not really as amazing. Like I was like, this might be one of Zach's weaker movies. I was like, the second one has to be good. If the second one's not good, then it'll prove that this movie was not as good. And then so coming in here, I honestly was not expecting much. I was like, if I get bored, I'm going to turn this off 30 minutes in. I was kind of like, man, because again, like, but I have to admit, man, I like this one so much better. Oh my God, this movie, the action,
agreed,
the story, the characters, like this movie was great. Like if you didn't like the first one or you were like, it was okay, you'll appreciate the first one a lot more after watching the second movie. This second movie, it kicked ass. I have to admit, it fucking kicked ass.
110%. If someone came up to me and said, "Oh, you know, should I watch Rebel Moon?" I probably would go just watch the second one.
Same.
And just go watch the recap. Like that's basically all you need to watch. There's so much more action in this. All the set pieces on the actual planet were fantastic. I did feel for Nemesis. I did feel for her when she lost. And
that sucked.
And the little boy too.
That was a shitty part. I did not expect that part to happen. But people did have to. We forget that, like, someone's got to die. You know? Look, like,
that's right. Someone's going to die. And when she was fighting, I thought, you've had that moment with the little boy. You're going to either save him or he's going to die saving you.
That's what I expected. But she took it like the champ. He came in there and helped her a little bit. And then he pretty much saved her from that moment. And then she took out the guy and then she got taken out, which sucked, man. That, you know, I really did like, I liked her. I liked her character a lot.
I did. So same. It's funny when I was watching that scene, like in my back of my mind, it's like this was meant to be with lightsabers.
Yeah. But it was cool though. Like I finally actually seen him up close and like seeing her when she cut her own arm off and it got her robotic arm. I was like, okay, like that was crazy. Like
I was like, whoa, okay. So you took a chance that they would work.
Yeah, it was awesome, dude. It was awesome. I have to admit, I could not stress it enough how much this movie did amaze me, because I genuinely was like, this movie's gonna suck ass. I was like, it's gonna be on my, and everybody reviewing it, people I trust. I don't listen to reviews, but there's people I trust, and I and the more they review something, the more it makes me want to go see it, because I'm like, oh, I trust the review, so whether it's good or bad, now I want to go see it because I want to see if they're what they're saying is right. And you know, one of the guys, well, two or three of them were just like, one of the worst movies I've seen. Like, don't even wait for it. And after, they're wrong. They were wrong, man.
They 100%. If someone goes to me, oh, that movie was one of the worst movies of the year, I'm like, go watch Madam Web and then come back.
Right? Oh my gosh. I still haven't seen that movie, but I want to watch it because people say how bad it is. And they're just like, bro, it's just boring. They're like, there's nothing going on. Like, they say it's so bad, it's good. Where, no. Like, you got to keep, where, like, in the sense of, like, you don't, you want to keep watching it because you're just like, this is bad. But, like, how did they get away with it being this bad? And what's about to happen next? Like, I think it was that kind of, like, dumb. You saw it, right?
Yeah, I saw it. And it's not a bad superhero film. It's a bad film in general. And I think when you watch it, being a director, you'll probably pick it up more. But it's just, it just seems like something that was slapped together on a weekend. Oh, like, for gosh. A Sony project, a multi-million-dollar project film, it just, like, the villain, his lines are all dubbed over. His lines don't match his mouth.
I didn't know how, so I saw people kept saying that. And I was like, there's no way it can be that bad. And then I saw clips and I was like, oh, they didn't try at all.
No. Every time I spoke, I'm like,
nothing was synced, bro. I was like, holy shit. That was bad. Yeah. And like you said, you're talking about a big studio, Sony. You don't just make fuck ups and mistakes like the audio like that. Like, it just doesn't make any sense, and then to be like, this is watchable. What?
It's different. And then Dakota Johnson's marketing trailers for it,
yeah,
were just so bland.
Yeah, I mean, I think she knew how bad the movie was because she said she was like, the script that she got was like, by the time that they were done, she was like, I don't even know what's going on anymore. Like, she's like, everything changed. Like, it wasn't what originally she signed on with. And that has to suck. I mean, obviously, as like a filmmaker and people in the industry, you know, when you go into a movie that things will change throughout. Like, my original script of six, we'll just say 100% of the original, what I had, I would say only maybe 80% went in there. The other 20% was changed on set. And that was due to like, lack of time, or this actor, actress, this happened, or something happened with the light. You know, there was so many different things, or this worked better, or this didn't make sense, or we were missing this scene. We have to add this. So those things happen, but I think it sucks when it's a big blockbuster and it changes so much that you go like, what am I even doing? Like, what am I working on? Yeah. And I think that's what Dakota Johnson was dealing with towards the end, was the what am I doing. And so she was just like, I don't even know if the movie's good anymore. Like, she didn't even realize, she didn't even counter herself and her skills to be like, this movie's good. She was like, I don't know.
And she said it in an interview not too long ago, saying she was never going to do something like that again. And you know, like, for example, Morbius. Morbius wasn't a great film, but it had some awesome set pieces, some great action, and Jared Leto did as a character alone, did a great job. It's pretty much everything around him. But no, this is, you know, the dialogue, it seems like it was done by ChatGPT. Quickly make me a script with some basic lines.
And I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, at this point, like, the way the studios are working now, like, they're trying to get away with cheap, easy, fast things, and it's starting to show.
And it's well, that was the big debate, wasn't it? In November, October last year with the striking.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how much better it's going to get, though, still, even with it being over.
Now, I'm expecting it to go a little bit of a... Yeah, 180. I'm expecting that it'll get to the point where it's like, oh my God, you know, we've done too much with this, where original art form becomes more popular. Like
that's what I'm saying. No, yeah.
That will become more of the demand.
Yeah. Like, now that's what I was telling you. I was like, I think within the next like 1 to 3 years, we're going to enter that golden stage. Because, and again, I don't know why, but I just feel it. But you make a good point. I'm like, maybe that's why we get so far. We're getting there. So tired.
Down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. So, and AI now, and everyone's like so tired. Like, even people getting mad that even if you use anything, a poster AI, there, you know, it doesn't matter how small it is. People are like, fuck this. Right. And so, I think the independent artists will come and outshine because you're knowing how much AI can do until everything's the same. And so you're going to want something fresh and new.
Well, that's right. And I think people will also forget is like using ChatGPT, stuff like that. It's meant to be used as a tool to improve on what you're doing already. You're not meant to rely on it the whole time. Mm-hmm. And because you rely on too much, your creativity becomes less and less. Like I use ChatGPT as well. Use it for ideas. I use it for different descriptions. You know, I use it to help improve, but I don't go copy, paste.
No. Yeah. You're helping, you're making like me, I'll go in there and I'm like, can you just proofread this? And then they'll like re-edit it. And I'm like, all right, thank you. Like, you know, like that's my whole thing. I'm like, just make sure this shit looks organized, please, ChatGPT. Like, I'll put the whole thing in there. Perfect, looks better now than it did before. And then that's it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm like, add grammar into this email.
Yeah. Please make sure I don't sound like an idiot.
And that's where it should be. And we were chatting, not to go off topic about Real Movement, we were chatting before how that we think the next wave, well, I think the next wave will be video games with everything that's been happening recently, that we, you know, superhero films will go the way of the Western because it's becoming maybe a bit too copy and paste.
Correct.
You know, how many times can you fall in a bath of acid? How many times can you become radioactive? How many times can your father die and you go off and do something?
Well, you can do it. So I'll defend that. You can do it a million times, but you can't do it a million times the same way. You can't. There's this theory that there's only, I don't remember exactly. All right. But there's this thing. I don't even think it's a theory. That there's only about 20 or 20, 21 stories that you're actually telling. That's it. Like, you're never actually changing anything. It's just told differently. And mm-hmm. So, again, like, you're able to tell the same story, but if you're going to tell it the same way, it's not going to hit. Like, you can talk. Like, me, I'm a sucker for sci-fi films. I love sci-fi films. So, it doesn't matter really if you're giving me the same type of things like, oh, the galaxy is going to, you know, they're taking over the galaxy and they're going to destroy planets and they're looking for the hero to take over and to make sure that they don't destroy it. Like that, you're like, that's so cliche, but who's telling it? How is it being told? Chronicles of Riddick. I fucking love that movie. People don't like it, but I'm like, I fucking love that movie. Valerian.
I've never seen that. I know. Oh. I've not seen that in ages.
Oh, my God.
I think I've only seen one because isn't it the tiles change each one, isn't it? It's like Chronicles, Pitch Black, and...
It's Pitch Black, Chronicles of Riddick, and then Riddick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's an animated movie in between called Dark Fury, which is in between. That's right after Pitch Black. It's pretty cool. But there's so many different stories. Even John Wick. You know how many stories of John Wick there are? Like, millions. But you can be like, oh, this is a copy of John Wick, right? But then you watch and you go like, oh, but you know what? Like, it was still good. Like, he has a revenge story and he's going to go and get him because they murdered his cat now or a dog or daughter. No, or no. It doesn't matter. But it's
and
the way that it's
told. Cat.
Yeah, but it's the way it's told. And so I think that, like, a lot of things is just as long as it's told differently and it's told by you and from you and your perspective, then you can tell the same story. Because again, we're just telling the same. I'll look up exactly what it is and I'll send it to you. But I'm almost sure there's only like 20 stories in have ever you're telling that you're just recycling again and again and again.
I will give you that. That is 100% correct. Because look at Dune, desert planet, hero, reluctant, needs to take over the people. Mm-hmm. I think we can all think of at least 4 movies that's like that. But just the way Dune 2 is shot and how it's put together is fantastic. And you're right with John Wick as well. So many revenge stories of, Taken. Taken's the opposite. There's so many different versions, but how John Wick is shot, the environment makes it that worth, if you're going to go do that story, do something different with it. And look, a superhero film, like I can name you 2 superhero films at the moment I would love to then bring to the big screen. That would be so different. That's Miles Morales, Spider-Man movie. But because it's different, and a Batman Beyond movie.
Oh my! God, if you're listening, please put me in the direction of directing a Batman Beyond movie, because I would love to direct the live action Batman. Like, bro, that is. Let's get that going. Yes, I'm with you on that. Even if I don't do it, I'm with you. I want to see a Batman Beyond movie.
Somebody,
yes, that's please.
That's what I said years ago. I was like, I wish they didn't make the right person Batman. I wish they just hit the. On the Batman Beyond movie,
because yes,
it's different, it's futuristic. You still got Bruce Wayne, but you get a young actor, and you can pump out 3 or 4 movies
for easily, and that work that aren't just like you could be like, oh, they're gonna milk it, but you're gonna be like, let them, because they're gonna work. Like you can give me 3. Fucking great Batman Beyond movie. And like I said, maybe a 4th, maybe even a 5th one. Because the characters, you could bring Michael Keaton as an old Bruce Wayne. Like there's so many things that you can do in that universe that like they're fumbling that bad. They're disgustingly fumbling. Yeah. And then Miles Morales, like you said, like I think that they're fumbling Miles Morales as well with Madame Web. And again, not because women. Because again, like, who doesn't want to see a Spider-Woman character? Everybody does. Who doesn't want to see Spider-Woman kick ass? Gwen Stacy, like, we all do. But we want it to be awesome. We want it to make sense. Like, we want it to, like, if it fits in the universe, it has to, if it's going to be in the universe, it has to make sense and it has to fit Spider-Man and it has to fit all these other characters. And unfortunately, we're just getting the ball dropped on all these characters.
We are. And I know the rumor is for Spider-Man 4. Mm-hmm. It's meant to be Miles Morales is meant to be introduced and it's meant to be a street level. Mm-hmm. Again, they're not going, mystic or anything that too big. And I think, that's going to be the 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's going to be the 9th or 8th Spider-Man movie, but it's going to be different.
Yeah.
Going to get Miles Morales, who's the hot topic. Because of Spider-Verse and the Spider-Man games.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think Miles Morales is a really cool character. It's in general. I mean, even from the Spider-Man movies, just to watch him in the animated movies, like he's a really cool character. I would say like I'm not the biggest fan of how shy and how like uncertain he is still. Like even still, like that's the only thing that gets me is that I wish he was a little bit more confident in himself. But I like the fact that I'm like, but that's what makes Miles Morales Miles Morales, and that's what I like about it. That I'm like, I don't have to agree with this. I don't have to. But there was an artist who was like, this is who my character is, and I'm just like, that makes it even better because it's like, well, you're getting to tell how you want it to be told, and that's how it should be told. And so I can't wait. I hope we do get a Miles Morales live action on screen soon.
Okay. So do I. And one other one that popped in my head is an Invincible live action film.
Oh, yeah. Which is,
that's going to be probably similar vibes to Miles Morales and similar vibes to Man of Steel.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a different story. It's a different.
With like the, like a kick ass blend of like that gritty, dark, real, brutal. Because like Omni-Man, he doesn't. They don't fuck around. Like, and they don't yeah, they don't hold back on the well, obviously the boys do the same thing. So we have the boys that kind of mimic off of the Invincible. I forgot about that. But Invincible has a much more superhero world than like in the boys has more of a political grounded superhero world, you know. So like it'd be two different worlds where Invincible live action would be awesome.
I they're saying on money on that. They need to make that. And yeah, Kryptonians are a bunch of dicks trying to take over the galaxy.
Yeah.
What, why? That's money right there. And if you, you know, you have, if you do this same thing in the movie as the first episode in the first 20 minutes where he murders the Justice League, how's the crowd going to be in the theater when you watch that?
It'll be insane, but a must. Because I remember when that happened, I was like, there's no way. Like, I was still like, there's no way, like, everybody? Like, except for Homeboy with the head. I think he was the only one who stayed alive, right? The one with the head?
No, they all died. Oh, sorry. Immortal here. He came back. They brought him back to life, Immortal.
But that was it. Everybody else was like, even Homegirl, like, he punched her through the face. I was like, what the, like, he, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That was wild.
I was talking, I had Michael from the Star Wars podcast, and we reviewed the end of Invincible Season 2, and I was saying how I remember on TikTok seeing that last scene on Facebook, Instagram, everyone reviewing that scene about him going nuts, and I said the same thing. It was like, you see that in live action? That's not a scene you're going to forget. And it, again, if it's nothing happy about it, it's still just straight up dark, ominous, like, ooh.
And if it's shot right, music's right, see everything, it'll, oh man, it'll be nice.
It'll be good.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Pulling right back to Rebel Moon.
Yeah. Oh, Rebel Moon. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, no, pulling right back. How did you feel when TARDIS, which this is probably another little gripe I had too amongst everything, is that the princess is alive.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I was a bit like...
The little girl?
Yeah, the little girl's alive.
Yeah, okay. So when he said that, I was confused because I'm like, bro, she's straight up dead. Yeah. There's no way. I saw the light leave. Everything. Like, there was no... And so I was confused. But, again, we're in this universe that Snyder built that we don't know why or how, what that light meant still. How she's alive. Did that light have a part to do in it? Like, I don't understand either. But I'm very... because the movie was pretty good, I'm very interested to see now, like, okay, there's going to be another one. Like I said, there might be four or whatever, but like I'm excited to see what they're reeling in next to continue the story. Because, again, it does get confusing. But, again, we have to understand, like, Snyder's making these movies almost like episodes. So they're not all supposed to end, you know.
No, I get that. It just seems such like a last shorn thing kind of thing of like, oh, by the way, she's alive. Like, how do you know that? Why have you not mentioned?
Yeah. And just to throw it out there, yeah, you're right.
And he says, oh, I know who you are. I'm like, you've said nothing. You've said nothing that she's still alive or at this entire point.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, you're right on that. I guess the fact that they just kind of throw it out there randomly at the end and they just added another, like, plot, you're like, oh, how? And it's at the end, too, where you're like, and now it ends, and you're like, she's alive. Okay. You're like, oh, like I said, like, you kind of go, okay, I guess we'll wait till the next week, but you kind of go like, but how? Why? Like, yeah, you're right. Why wait now? And if you knew who she was this whole time, she was fucking... regretting and hating herself and just beating herself up every night for what she did, and you're like, hey, she's good, don't worry. And it's like, you didn't tell me this whole time.
Yeah.
My goodness.
I'll tell her at the right moment when everyone is half dead to tell you that she's alive. When you're crying in front of your dead boyfriend.
Oh, my gosh.
I will tell you that she's alive because I think it'll be the right time.
Perfect timing.
Thanks, Titus. Thanks. But yeah, how she's going to be alive. So now it's just going to be a hunt for the princess.
Yeah.
Again, we don't know how Titus knows she's alive because Titus wasn't on the ship. He wasn't in that scene.
Yeah, they have to have like taken her somewhere and they're hiding and then he knows about it from like a different group or community or something. I don't know. There has to be something more to it because, yeah, he was nowhere near that when that happened.
No. And I actually forgot to mention, I do like how the rebels came and helped at the end. They flew in from the first film.
Yeah, that was cool.
Ray Fisher's crew came in and helped. Because at first when I saw all the ships coming in, I was like, who are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
They might even add more on the director's cut. Because they did just come out of nowhere. I'll be honest. I was like, how the fuck did they know about this? And that was crazy. Like, and again, this isn't a perfect movie. I don't even want to understand. Like, this isn't an 8, a 9, or a 10 out of 10. Like, this is none of that. Like, this is just a fun, and it was more fun and enjoyable than what I expected from this movie. But there is a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense. The what?
The part 2. Part 2 a lot more than part 1.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Again, part 1, enjoyable, and you go, like, these are great moments, whatever, but not the best. Definitely his weakest. That's the sucker punch out of his movies, for sure.
Unfortunately, I think I agree with that. I think if you, as Rabbit Woman will continue, which he wants to do board games, he wants to do video games into all this.
I just feel like it's so forced. I love Snyder. I love him to death, but like I want everything to feel organic. I want people to be like, I want a Rebel Moon game. Because right now I'm like, what am I going to do in the Rebel Moon game? Well, but I will be honest though. You know, them releasing like a Dune game makes me feel the same. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do in a Dune game? Like, I'm not crazy. No one wants a Dune game. Then they release it. You might be like, oh, this is going to be awesome. So Rebel Moon might have the same impact.
Well, they are actually.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I wasn't excited for a Dune game. I was like, why? No one's asked for it. Then they dropped the trailer. And I was kind of like, it doesn't seem too bad. I'm like, you know what? I'm a little interested.
I was like you. I was like, I need to see a trailer of this before I think, oh, yeah, this is pretty good. But the trailer, I was like, okay, base building, kind of act, you know, third person kind of action. I was like, okay, you're not just going to be fighting sandworms and riding sandworms.
Yeah, that was my thing. It's like I was like, the pictures and stuff they're showing, he's just by the sand. I was like, this just doesn't. No one's asking for this. Like, the movies are masterpieces, but no one's asking for a game. But then the trailer, and you're like, all right, maybe we are asking for a game.
All right, you've got me.
I'll try it out.
Yeah. Fine. I'll pick it up. But yeah, a Rebel Moon game, I don't know. Do you do a straight movie adaptation Rebel Moon game, or do you make it a new character set in the Rebel Moon universe?
I don't think any video game ever works that's like a straight adaptation to the movie. Ever.
Never does.
I definitely have to just be like a game that revolves around the Rebel Moon world itself, but not follow. It can have the characters, but it can't follow that storyline because it could be around that storyline, like around what's going on, but it can't follow that exact thing because it just doesn't work. It's never worked. I've never had a game. I'm not saying they're not fun, but you don't go back and you're like masterpiece. You're just always like, that was mid. Like, okay, I got through this. Like the Spider-Man game. I remember when they were dropping the amazing Spider-Man games. Like, yeah, but when you drop one that's not connected to the Spider-Man movie,
boom.
Exactly. Same with Batman. Batman games that were connected to the movie. The Dark Knight Begins. The Batman Begins one. Ass. Then you get the Dark Knight, Arkham Asylum and stuff, and you're just like, masterpieces.
so good. But you're right. I can't think of one video game that we were like, oh yeah, you did the events of the movie and this is pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's it's never worked.
Nothing.
But you're right, like how you do a real video game is maybe, I don't know if you play the Guardians Galaxy video game.
I haven't played it, but that looks fun.
That's very like four people. You've got the team all together, and when you do fight, you can do combos together off each other.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I'd be happy with probably maybe something like that, where you have your own, because obviously this movie is about having a team.
Yeah.
If you have a similar team together, they can do the one thing. Which, as we're recording this, there is no release date, nothing about. All we know is that Zack Snyder is just pouring everything into this, and I don't think anyone is clamoring for a Real Moon board game.
No.
Don't know why, but yeah, he's milking this thing to be like Star Wars.
I agree, which, again, there's no shade and no hate on that, but I think that, like, as a filmmaker, that's all we all want. But I'm like, is Rebel Moon the perfect project for stuff like this, you know? Like, was that the right choice? And, you know, you have other projects like 300, Army of the Dead, Sucker Punch. But again, those are his own projects. Everything else is like IP. You have Justice League, Batman vs. Superman, you know.
Yes.
So I guess Rebel Moon is the perfect one because it's his own IP. He has nothing to do. But I just wish it came more organically, people wanting it. Like, you know, instead of just kind of being like, we're going to do a lot at once.
Yeah, like, do you like Star Wars? Well, here's Wish on Star Wars.
Yeah, for real. No, and it's serious, like, I love this. You know, I love Snyder's visions, and I love his creativity, but, like, it's just, it isn't Star Wars, and that's for sure.
No. But you can tell that there was elements meant to be for Star Wars.
Of course.
Well, any final words for Real Moon? If you could sum it up in a couple of words.
I think that Rebel Moon is a fun movie. I think Rebel Moon is enjoyable. I think you're going to like it more than the first one. It's put together a lot better. I think the action is great. I think the action was great on the first one too, with Ray Fisher and everything. I think the action was great. The action was great on this. Characters are better, like I said. Story's better. Everything just flows better. It's 2 hours where it feels like there's 30 minutes missing. But... or not necessarily missing, I guess. I guess partly missing, but also like, where's more? You know, you're like, I need more. Whatever. Yeah, I guess missing.
There's a gap here.
Yeah, there's like gaps, right? But it also feels like they took the right gaps out because the story was able to still flow very well. It's not a perfect movie. It's not the best movie. Is it one of Zack Snyder's top movies? No. You're not going to be Dawn of the Dead. You're not going to be 300. You're not going to be Watchmen. You're not going to be Man of Steel. You're not going to be Batman vs. Superman. You're not going to be the Snyder Cut. It's definitely at the end with Sucker Punch, you know, and Army of the Dead is a great... I like that movie, but it's also in the end with that one. And I liked Army of the Dead. But I gave it maybe... I would rate this movie a good 6.5 out of 10. 7 maybe. Mm. Right around there. 6.5. 7. I don't know. I have to watch it again, but I'm right in that range of like 6 to 7. The first one, I went back, watched it, gave it a 5.5. I'll be honest. I'm going to be straight up 5.5 out of 10. This one, yeah. I would say between 6 and 7. It's a great movie. It's a fun movie. It's not the best, but it is a fun movie. If you like Snyder's visuals, you're going to like it. The score, like you were saying, better on here. Action is great. The characters are just better. I mean, I'm repeating myself over and over, guys. But
somebody stop me.
Yeah, but yeah, guys. That's what I have to say about Rebel Moon. I love Snyder, so honestly, great movie. Better than I expected. So yeah.
No, man, I couldn't agree more. This is so much more. This is a lot better than the first one. I would give it about that 6. I would go 6, probably wouldn't go to 7, but this is a lot better. I would tell people to watch this opposed to the first one. Just watch the quick recap. You'll be fine. You can tell the more of the budget went into this side of the film opposed to the first one.
Oh, yeah.
There was, yeah, a lot more goes into this. Can I wait for the sequel? Yes, I am not. I don't have the same feeling as I just finished watching Fallout, where I'm like, where's season two? I need it now. Yeah. It's more like, yeah, I can wait.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I feel the same way. It's one of those where I'm like, do I want to watch a sequel? I'm like, I don't mind one, but am I rushing for one? I'm like, no. If we end it here, I'm cool with it. Fine with me. But if you give me more, man, that shit better land. That shit better hit. You know, yeah. Like, but this one hit for me a little bit more than the first one. So the next one's my, I felt that first one was just so much of like trying to introduce so much. And the second one, they were just more comfortable being like, let's just shoot the movie. And that's what it felt like. Like the second one, I was like, this feels like a way better put together movie. Like you said, like you go watch a 10 minute recap of that first one and then watch the second one and you'll be good. I promise you.
Look, there's nothing in that first one you really, because we still get Bolzatar. You can still see that he's the bad guy. We still get the bad guy from the first one. So yeah. Really, no reason.
You need a small story recaps. And then if you want to see like some of the scenes with like Ray Fit, some of the action scenes are dope, you know, but like, as long as you get the story recaps of like why these characters are here, you'll be like, oh, I get the gist. And then watch the second one and you'll be like,
which we even get another recap in this movie too. Yeah. Characters and why they're there.
Yeah. Which, like I said, that's why it was so much better. Cause I'm like, yo, I got to really, everything was in here that should have been on the first one. This was what the first one should have been.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, look, man, I would like to say thank you so much for coming on this episode. This has been a blast. I will go check out Letterboxd.
Yes, please. Please go over there. Add me. I'll send you when you do it, let me know. Send me your name so I can add you.
I will. Likewise. And as always, everyone, go check out his channel. He's got so much cooking up in the pipeline. His podcast, go watch the movie. All links will be in the description. And as always, until next time, happy ranting.
Later, guys.
Thanks for listening to Lights, Camera, Rant. If you like the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review, and be sure to tell your friends. Until next time, happy ranting.